So, you have a third John Wick movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. So as you know, at the end of the last movie, John Wick had 1 hour before a $14 million bounty on his head started.
I did know that. He's got to get to safety fast. He had a bunch of people around him, any of which could have been killers.
Exactly.
So he heads right to Times Square, right?
Oh, okay. Seems like one of the worst possible places to go in a world full of assassins.
Well, that may be true, but it's going to look cool visually.
Oh, okay. Well, then great.
So John sends his dog off to safety at the Continental with this cab driver.
The cab driver accepts to drive a dog, no questions asked.
Yeah, we'll see. The thing about this cab driver...
Oh, he's part of the underground assassin world too, isn't he?
He's part of the underground assassin world!
Right, okay.
Cab drivers, homeless people, street musicians, all part of the secret world.
He's kind of getting out of hand.
A little bit. So then John goes to this library, because he hid some emergency stuff inside this book.
Oh man, time must be running out until he's excommunicado.
Oh yeah, so then this 7'3" guy pops out and he's like, hey, John, you know, if I kill you a couple minutes before the timer's up, who's really gonna know?
If that's his attitude, why didn't he just walk up and shoot John instead of talking to him first?
Oh, unclear. So then they have this big fight and John kills the guy with a frickin' book.
Oh, this guy's using all kinds of school supplies as murder weapons.
He sure is, sir. But turns out this tall guy nicked an artery in John's neck, so he needs to get some medical assistance before the timer's up.
God, how long is this 60-minute timer?
Good question, sir. This particular 60-minute timer 5 hours long.
Oh, okay.
So then because of the rules, the doctor has to stop right when the timer's up and John has to finish stitching himself up himself.
Jeez, so now the assassins can come get him?
They sure can, sir. So John immediately gets hit by 2 cars.
Oh, yikes. I mean, there's no way that freshly stitched artery doesn't pop open, right?
But the stitches are fine. We've established that car accidents just kind of tickle John Wick.
Wait, so is he like invincible or?
Oh, no. He can get hurt.
He can?
Yeah, of course, but just not in any way that'll slow the movie down or prevent him from killing anyone in any way.
Oh, well, fantastic. So then John's gonna kill a bunch more people in very cool ways.
What kind of ways are we talking?
Oh, well, like at a certain point, he slaps a horse so that it kicks a guy in the face.
Oh, strategic horse slapping is tight.
It sure is, sir. And then he's gonna ride a horse while assassins chase him on motorcycles.
Can't those guys just shoot the horse?
Well, yeah, of course, but they're not gonna.
Why not?
Because
that works.
So now John's gotta get out of New York, so he goes to see this lady.
What for?
Well, sir, turns out there's another symbolic doodad in this universe besides markers and coins.
Oh,
yeah, so he exchanges this doodad for a favor.
That's kind of a lot of randomly valuable doodads, isn't it? Getting kind of repetitive in this lore.
Oh, did I say doodad? I meant doohickey.
Oh, a doohickey! Okay, that changes things up.
Okay, great. So thanks to the doohickey, he gets safe passage to Morocco, because he's got to go see this other lady and give her a doodad in exchange for a favor.
But that, okay.
And he needs this lady to bring him to a man, because he needs to ask that man where to find another man. Because he needs to ask that man a favor.
So, like, what's the story of this movie?
Oh, sir, I just told you. John's got to talk to some people and call in some favors to talk to other people and call in favors to talk to other people and call in favors.
It's a little boring, isn't it? Just meetings with various people?
Well, I mean, yeah, but you're forgetting the super well-choreographed murder sprees in between the meetings.
Oh, okay, that's right. I do like watching the killings.
So, eventually, this guy tells John how to go meet this guy called the Elder, who can help him stop being excommunicado.
And how's he supposed to get to the Elder?
He needs to go to the edge of the desert and then walk towards the brightest star until he passes out.
Oh, that's just so extremely vague.
And eventually this lady Sophia, who's been helping John out because of a marker, she drops him off at the edge of the desert.
How are they supposed to know that's the right spot?
Unclear, but it totally is. So then John walks until he passes out and wakes up with the Elder.
Oh, the incredibly vague directions worked.
They did. So this guy makes John cut off his own finger and give him his ring and agree to go kill Winston.
Why does he want Winston dead?
Well, see, since Winston had helped John, the high table sent this adjudicator person to tell him he's getting removed as head of the Continental.
Oh, very serious.
Yeah. So then John goes back to New York and there's this guy Zero after him, so they both do some magic at each other in public, and it's very fun.
Nice little break for some magic, sure.
And John makes it back to the Continental just barely in time before Zero kills him.
So he's safe there?
Well, yeah, because of that rule where business can't be conducted on hotel grounds.
But he's excommunicado, so he's not allowed on hotel grounds.
Well, now he is, because he agreed to kill Winston, which is what he's here to do.
Winston's on the hotel grounds, though.
Yeah.
So John Wick's not allowed to kill him.
No.
Okay.
So anyway, John goes to see Winston, and after a brief conversation, he's like, yeah, okay, I'm not gonna kill you.
Why not?
Changed his mind.
Oh, okay, so the whole middle section of the movie and the finger cutting was kind of pointless.
No, it wasn't. Filled up a whole bunch of runtime and split up the killing scenes quite nicely.
That's a good point.
So then the adjudicator arrives, but since Winston refuses to abdicate and John refuses to kill him, they deconsecrate the Continental.
What does that mean?
Oh, well, now they could send a bunch of high-table assassins to kill John. John and Winston.
Oh boy.
And at a certain point, John is killing a guy underwater, and when he pops out of the water, there's a guy waiting there to kill him.
Oh no, it's gonna be hard to get out of that situation.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh really?
Yeah, see, that Zero guy who's a big fan of John Wick kills this guy because he's like, no, I'm the one who's gonna kill John Wick.
Wow, well thank God this guy has a weird obsession with John Wick.
Yeah, it worked out great. So then it's time for the big final showdown in a house of mirrors.
Yeah, that was the location of the final showdown in the last movie. Oh yeah, dang it, you're right. Okay, so it takes place in a house of glass panels that reflect stuff.
That works. So John is gonna fight some assassins, but they respect him so much they don't kill him when they have the chance on several occasions.
Oh, wait, he's just defeating people with respect now?
Yeah, this guy's unkillable. He's so freaking good.
Well, yeah, if people don't kill him when they have the opportunity to do so.
Still counts, and so then he kills that Zero guy.
Oh, wow, wow, wow. Wow.
So the adjudicator comes back and they're like, wow, Winston, this was all just a big show of strength, wasn't it? I'm impressed.
Wait, what?
But then they're like, but what are we gonna do about John Wick?
What are they talking about? John Wick was the show of strength.
Yeah, for sure. But Winston says New York City was the show of strength.
I guess that makes sense.
Maybe. So then Winston shoots John a bunch of times and he falls off a building.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's brutal. Shot multiple times, falls from super high up.
Wow, okay. So John Wick dies. Well, that was the only way this trilogy was gonna end, if you think about it.
Oh, God, he's still alive, isn't he?
You know it, sir. This guy's never gonna die.
Oh. None of this will ever die.
Oh, man, that's great news.
We're gonna keep going with this franchise forever.
Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever.
So, you have a Christmas movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. It's gonna be super violent.
What? Yeah, so this New York cop, John McClane, is on his way to Los Angeles to see his wife, Holly, on Christmas Eve.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's having a tough time on the plane, so the guy sitting next to him's like, the secret to air travel is to take your shoes off later and make fists with your toes.
That's a pretty weird thing to include in a movie.
Yeah, well, I want John to take his shoes off later, because there's gonna be a whole thing with broken glass.
Can't we just have him take off his shoes while he's changing? I mean, I can't really have someone take their shoes off without some juicy backstory to it.
Fair enough.
So anyway, John gets a limo ride from this driver, Argyle, and he says he's gonna wait for John in the parking garage while he goes up to see his wife at her office Christmas party.
What kind of a company has their Christmas party on Christmas Eve?
The kind I made up for this movie.
Gotcha. So anyway, then the whole Christmas party's gonna be taken over by this guy, Hans Gruber, and his crew of bad guys with beautiful hair.
Oh, so John sneaks down to the garage to Argyle?
No, the bad guys disabled the elevators below the 30th floor.
Oh, so does he try to get down using the stairs?
No, doesn't even try.
Why not?
Well, I mean, even if he did get down to Argyle, the beautiful haired bad guys closed the security gates.
Can't Argyle drive through the gates to go get some help?
Well, yeah, he can drive through them, but we're only gonna have him do that at the end of the movie.
Why?
Because that's what I wrote.
Fair enough.
Anyway, so this one bad guy is gonna try to track John down, but John's gonna get the drop on him.
Oh, what's he planning on doing?
Getting the guy to drop his machine gun.
And then what? I mean, he's not in a position to arrest anybody if the guy does surrender.
Well, he's gonna hit the guy on the head and wrestle with him and end up breaking his neck.
Feels like he should have just shot him in the first place when he had the chance.
Yeah, well, there's gonna be kind of a recurring thing in the movie where characters don't shoot each other at key moments when they have the chance.
How come?
Because then the movie would be over and we gotta stretch this bad boy out.
Fair enough. Stretching out bad boys is tight.
Oh, that's the worst sentence I've ever heard.
Yeah, that didn't sound right at all and I apologize.
Anyway, so then John puts the dead guy in the elevator so the other bad guys see him.
What?
Yeah, he's gonna right now I have a machine gun on his chest. It's gonna be hilarious.
He's gonna give up the element of surprise so we can taunt them a little bit.
Well, not only that, he's also gonna eavesdrop on them and learn what their names are.
He didn't have to send them a dead body to eavesdrop on them.
Yeah, probably would have made his life easier if he hadn't done that.
Whoops.
Whoopsie. So then later this cop is gonna pass through when John has to get his attention.
Oh, and is that gonna be hard for him to do from all the way up in the building?
No, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's just gonna throw the dead body of another guy he killed onto the cop's car.
Wait, now that I think of it, he could have just fired his gun to get the cop's attention.
Probably, but this guy's like really into communicating using dead bodies.
Sure sounds that way.
And then some more law enforcement's gonna show up and this police chief is gonna take over.
Oh, what's his deal?
Well, I had to make him unbelievably stupid so the movie could keep on going.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, like he thinks the dead guy full of bullet holes that was thrown out the building killed himself.
It is unbelievable that a human being could be that stupid.
Well, if the law enforcement people were competent at all, the movie would end, so I kind of had to make them all into walking plot devices.
Oh, so they're all just there to make dumb decisions and pad the runtime?
Exactly. Like, some of them are gonna try to break through glass doors with a blowtorch. They're gonna be really dumb.
Wow.
But the first cop that showed up is actually a good guy.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, like when John McClane isn't talking to himself, which he does kind of a lot, he's gonna be talking to this guy.
And what's his deal?
Well, he's gonna have this backstory where he lost his cop mojo after accidentally killing a kid who was playing with a toy gun. It's gonna be really sad.
Wait, is the sad part that he killed a kid or that he lost his cop mojo?
We're certainly gonna play it like the tragedy is that he lost his cop mojo.
Interesting.
Yeah, so in the end, he's gonna have this story arc where he regains the confidence to, you know, shoot people again.
Wow, well, good for him.
We're also gonna have this whole subplot with this reporter snooping around.
Oh?
Yeah, cause this way Hans is gonna end up seeing on the news that Holly and John are married.
I mean, we can literally have that show up on the news. We don't need an entire reporter subplot.
Yes, we do.
Oh, okay then.
And so later, John is gonna be getting chased by bad guys and he's gonna cut his feet on some broken glass.
Right, he's not wearing any shoes and I know the entire history of that.
Yeah, he's gonna leave a huge trail of blood, but he's gonna end up escaping and losing the bad guys.
How does he manage to lose the bad guys if he's leaving a giant trail of blood?
I don't know.
Fair enough.
And so yeah, eventually John is gonna end up killing Hans Gruber and saving the day.
Very cool. And what's this thing called anyway?
Oh, I was thinking we could call it Die Hard.
What does that mean?
Well, first of all, it sounds awesome and it vaguely describes the characters and plot, I guess.
I guess, kinda.
And it's kind of a tribute to my late uncle.
Oh, was he killed in the line of duty or something?
No, he died while testing erectile dysfunction drugs.
Oh my god.
So what do you think?
Well, I mean, it sounds great, but I don't know if I'd necessarily call it a Christmas movie, you know?
Of course it's a Christmas movie. It takes place at Christmas time.
But it doesn't have to do with Christmas other than that.
But it takes place at Christmas time.
But that doesn't necessarily mean it's a Christmas movie.
Sure it does. Tell you what, let's let people debate this amongst themselves for a while before taking an official stance on it.
How long should we let them debate?
Like maybe 3 decades or something?
Sounds good to me.
So, you have a Fast and Furious spin-off for me?
Yes, sir, I do. And I really put in a lot of work to get into the right mindset for a script like this.
Oh, you did a lot of research on cars, huh?
No, I took a lot of testosterone supplements I found on the black market.
Whoa, geez, okay, and that helped?
It did. I feel much more manly and aggressive. My pee is a healthy shade of dark red, and I can pretty much warg at will.
Oh my god.
So anyway, in this movie, we're gonna focus on Hobbs and Shaw, but they hate each other, you know, so it's just gonna be constant bickering.
Didn't the last movie end with them chilling at the same family barbecue all friendly-like?
So do you think I should have Hobbs and Shaw just be best friends and get along the whole movie and not sling insults at each other?
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
Well then, I guess you should get all the way off my back about how the last movie ended.
Oh, okay, let me get off of that thing, you big alpha male.
So anyway, in this movie, they have to go up against a dark shadow organization funded by dark money that operates on the dark web.
And what's their deal?
Well, I said they were dark. That means I don't have to explain a thing.
Right, that makes sense.
And they want to spread this virus around the world that turns people's insides to soup.
That doesn't seem so bad. I mean, that's where we put soup anyway.
Okay, but this would be bad though.
If you say so.
So anyway, at the beginning of the movie, this bad cyborg guy, Brixton, tries to steal the virus and this MI6 agent, Hattie, injects it into herself and escapes.
Oh, Hattie, huh? What's her deal?
Oh, well, she's actually the sister of Deckard Shaw, so we're gonna have flashbacks, you know, of them both as kids pulling heists together.
Did you have someone in mind to play her?
I was thinking we could get Vanessa Kirby.
Wasn't she on that show The Crown about the Queen?
Right, that's her.
I mean, that show takes place in the 1940s. Isn't Vanessa Kirby like 90 years old now?
Well, actually, sir, period pieces aren't actually shot in the period they take place in. It's all pretend.
Oh, neat. I'm learning so much at this job.
Yeah, so she's like 30 years old.
Isn't Jason Statham in his 50s, though?
He is, yeah.
So how can we have flashbacks of them both as children if he's several decades older than her?
I don't know, but we're gonna.
Fair enough.
So anyway, she only has a couple of days before this virus activates in her bloodstream and kills millions of people.
Oh boy.
Yeah, so then Hobbs and Shaw get recruited to work together and save the day.
Who recruits them?
Well, I figure we could have Ryan Reynolds come play a CIA agent.
Oh, people like Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, and he's gonna be a very serious, very somber kind of character, no-nonsense kind of guy.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. He's just straight up gonna do Deadpool.
Oh, people like Deadpool.
They do. And so how come they don't call the rest of the Fast and Furious squad to help out on this?
Well, this is a spin-off, so they're not in it.
Right, but they exist in this universe, right? Isn't this the kind of thing they'd help with?
Usually, yes, absolutely.
So we're gonna have a movie with world-ending stakes and just ignore the existence of a bunch of other heroic characters running around?
Marvel gets away with it.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. They do. So anyway, they have to find a way to extract this virus, but this Brixton guy is gonna give them a real hard time. He's like a supervillain.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he has, like, live fight analytics, he's bulletproof, he has crazy good aim, unless he's aiming at something that's important to the story.
Very cool. Are there gonna be some cool action sequences?
You bet, and those were actually quite a challenge. challenge to write.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I couldn't figure out how to spell pew, 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 but once I figured it out, it all went well.
Oh, figuring out how to spell pew, pew, pew is tight.
It is, yeah, thank you.
So why does this Brixton guy want to spread the virus anyway?
Well, he wants to wipe out weak people to improve the human race.
Oh, that's not very nice.
It's not, and you know, somebody tells him that's genocide, and he's like, genocide, schmenicide.
Wow, that is extremely... Oh, wait, just a second. Hello?
Oh, who is it? Who's talking?
Wow, well, I'll let him know. Thank you very much.
What's going on?
That was Oscar, the head of the Oscars. They'd like to give you an Oscar for the best bad guy line of the past 10 years.
Oh, that all sounds so specific that it must be true.
Well, congrats.
Thanks. So what else happens in the movie?
Well, the good guys need to find this Nobel Prize winning Russian scientist, because he's the one who was forced to make the virus.
Oh, is it going to be tough to track him down?
Actually, it's going to be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, they have a photo of him holding a Russian newspaper that's only sold at one newsstand in London, and for some reason, Shaw knows this.
Well, great, that is convenient.
Yeah, so they go to that newsstand and find him immediately.
That worked out fantastic.
It did. So then they go to this big old facility in the Ukraine, because there's a machine there that can extract the virus.
Okay.
And then there's gonna be this huge climactic fight sequence, and they're gonna escape just as everything's exploding around them and crumbling.
Well, sounds like a great set piece to end the movie.
Yeah, it's certainly gonna feel like the end, but we're gonna keep going for an hour.
Oh, we are.
We are. So now the little machine is broken, and they have to fix it.
Yikes, so what do they do?
Well, they're like, man, we gotta get to Samoa right now.
Why do they need to go there?
Because Hobbs' brother, with whom he hasn't spoken in 25 years, lives there, and he's good at fixing cars. So the plan to stop this ticking time bomb device is to fly like 15 hours to Samoa, because there's a guy there that was good with cars a quarter of a century ago.
That's right.
How do they even get a plane on such short notice?
Kevin Hart hooks it up.
That works. Yeah, so then there's gonna be a second big final fight with all these Samoan people that have no guns against Brixton's little army.
Man, it's gonna be hard for a bunch of unarmed Samoans to take on mercenaries.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, it turns out that Brixton and his guys use guns that are hackable, so with a little bit of sexy hacking, they can't use them for like 6 or 7 minutes.
Well, great.
So then there's gonna be this big thing where a bunch of cars latch onto each other, and Hobbs is on the last one holding a helicopter with a chain.
Oh, that is ludicrous.
No, it's Dwayne Johnson.
Never mind.
And then Hobbs and Shaw are gonna learn to work together and take down Brixton.
Wow, 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 wow.
And Hobbs is gonna be like, brother, you may have all the technology in the world, but we have heart.
Oh. What's going on? You okay?
Yeah, no, I'm lactose intolerant, and that was a lot of unexpected cheese.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. It's just a play on words, so it'll pass.
So what do you think?
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, and maybe just try to shove some pop culture references in there so people know we're hip.
I know just the thing to shove in there unprompted.
Hi, this is Ryan George from The Thing You Just Watched. Please enjoy this slideshow from The Thing You Just Watched.